He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.
Yes, and for this week's show, which whenever you hear it, I am solo. My co-host Jay is still away.
I thought he was in Morocco or something, right? This is like sounding like a road movie, Road to Morocco.
That's correct. Exactly. But I want to discuss a few generalizations about this coming era of electric vehicles, because the headlines in one of my automotive journals periodicals this week is very indicative of where I am at about the truck side of the electric vehicle business. The headline is EV holdouts. And holdouts is reflecting the fact that there are now the reality of the transition to electric vehicles is going to probably become very segmented. The vehicles that can effectively use battery power and give one an effective range so that we don't have this continuing discussion of range anxiety is going to be restricted, in my opinion, and probably in the industry's opinion, of users, that is, to vehicles that aren't going to be heavily laden down with A, batteries, and B, load factors, load equipment. The headline that I just talked about, which is EV holdouts, is related to the heavy-duty truck segment of the truck line business. We have said on an earlier version of this show that there was a test of a Ford Lightning pickup truck laden down to its maximum capacity in terms of either what it could hold in the back of a pickup and or tow, or a combination of both. And it turned out that that was roughly 70 miles or less. I think I might have said 40 on the show. I can't remember. There have been a couple of tests related to laden down electric pickups, and it isn't going to go away. I have said in the past, the broadcast area that you were listening to is up in the northwest corner, for those who don't know it or who might be podcasting from other parts of the country, of Connecticut. And for delivery trucks like UPS vehicles, FedExes, anything that uses large parcel delivery trucks to deliver packages all day long, where there are few effective, if any, charging stations for day stops to recharge, is so far away, or is effectively quite far away from the areas where they get their loads put on the trucks to come up here. Roughly 40 miles range, maybe 30 in one place, 50 another. But that is effectively 60 to 100 miles of necessary driving just to get from A to B, B being the start area for delivering all day long, which adds to the miles, and ABC, I guess you should say, and C to go back to the depot for loading overnight for the next day's work. If pickup trucks, vehicles, the simplest pickup trucks, when they're laden down, can suddenly have their advertised 200 to 220-mile range on a daily basis, potential usage, drop to 40 to 70 miles if fully laden down to their maximum capacity holdings. Who knows whether they can be a electric truck delivery systems starting out from, let's say, Waterbury, Connecticut, driving all the way up Route 8 or up and down the hills to get to the Salisbury, Sharon, Northwest Connecticut corner area and start going around to deliver their deliveries with numerous stops, lots of startups, and even though they get lighter as they go, they're starting from a battery range deficit of who knows what. Probably the answer, the end result of this discussion is that it looks like it may be a long time before heavy-duty trucks and trucks used for carrying loads many miles before they even get to their delivery range are going to be very much not appropriate for electrification. Enough on that. Moving to Rivian, which has been probably one of the only alternative truck manufacturers to actually get vehicles on the road in connection, or as opposed to the major manufacturers like Ford, GM, and Stellantis, which is Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, who are close to, if not already doing it. Ford has already got an electric pickup truck. Chevy's not far behind, and Stellantis is a little bit further behind the two. I got a close-up view of a Rivian pickup truck in a recent visit in Kent, with its own, and I had a nice visit with its owner, who was absolutely thrilled with the truck. Jay has been a big proponent of the Rivian manufacturing, and I am not far behind, but I have seen very few examples on the road. I have yet to see the large SUV GM and Ford Expedition equivalent in our corner, and I'm not sure whether there are any on the road down in Fairfield County, where I've also seen Rivian pickups. But I got close to this Rivian. The owner actually was sitting in it when I walked up to it. I couldn't see him through the heavily tinted side windows until I got very close. But he rolled down his window, and I had a nice chat with him about it. It took him 9 months to get his truck. He got it in New York City. I guess there's a Rivian dealership somewhere in New York or Long Island. And he is obviously very thrilled with it. But I believe that he, along with many others who are ordering these fancy pickup trucks, because his was fully laden down with all the options, so it probably was in the just sub-$100,000 tip over into six-figure range, loves the acceleration. It was gleaming. It has not been off the road. I doubt he has taken it off the road, and I doubt he is going to take it much off the road. He is actually using it as a second vehicle to a Range Rover, which he admitted was his first vehicle. It's a four-door pickup. I think they all are. It has not been used for doing anything but transporting the owner and his children around the northwest corner of the state. He has made a couple of trips to New York with it and back, because he also lives in New York besides living up in the northwest corner. And there's not much he had to say. I don't think there was a negative thing about it, except for the fact that the garages in New York are woefully short of, or some garages are woefully short, if not completely absent of electric charging ports in their underground garages. That goes back to range anxiety, of course, because he said to me, of course, it's 100 miles to New York and 100 miles back up. It's not quite that technically from where I saw him, but be it as it may, that's a good roundabout number. And that 200 miles is just about, just under the limit that his range is when he starts out with a full charge in his vehicle, which does not allow, as he and I discussed, making many side trips between points A and B back to A again if you have not been able to charge at the interim stop.
Right.
There's not much more I need to say about the Rivian. I love its looks because it's markedly different than the big three, but it is much, and it is, but it's not so weird like the Tesla truck, which is yet to make the roads, and its presence known on the roads, and may or may not make it by 2023 or 4. And it is every bit as functional looking as far as the pickup bed in the back and the cab in the front, except for the absence of lots of gauges and stuff, because you have these screens, these Tesla-like screens, which have all the information you need to make the truck operate inside and out. He said that he wanted to get the truck delivered, but the interesting thing about the delivery situation with Rivian was, because of so many orders, that because Rivian was based in the city of New York or around the city of New York, they were prioritizing deliveries of trucks to people who had ordered them way before and still way before production is ramping up enough to get new orders filled in a short period of time. He had to go pick his up because they would not deliver outside of New York if he wanted them to. Well, if he wanted to get the truck that he was in line for delivered on time. I guess this is a Rivian program that if you're in New York, you get priority because they don't have to get a put it on a truck and send it up into a remote delivery area.
I just want to interject that this does not sound like it's a mass market thing. If his other car is a Range Rover, and you know, it sounds
well,
as though
that,
there's
that you inferred correctly from my comment. None of these electric vehicles, I think, are going to be mass market trucks for the mass market. As we have heard, and the price has already gone up from the initial introduction price, the Ford Lightning was producing a contractor's edition, which was starting, I believe, at somewhere, either it was in the low 40s or just sub $50,000 range before you added on any accessories. And it went quickly up from there because as you went up with the interior model lines, equipment levels, which go up as you increase the fanciness of the truck you're ordering. Well, your comment about the mass market appeal is very relevant in, I think, most of all the electric cars that are currently on the market, including pickup trucks. as I was saying, Ford was building a contractor's edition of the Lightning, guaranteeing one for each dealer until they got production ramped up. But it was supposed to start in with a $40,000-plus price tag and have basic, I guess, contractors' desired equipment or desirability equipment, as Ford would see it. But the price of the Lightning quickly ramps up and can hit $70,000 to $80,000 fully equipped with the luxury interior packages and whatever else you could add on to the base equipment. The Rivian certainly is in that same range, and many pickups are going to be electrified, and they're going to be costing that much. When General Motors comes out, they're going to have probably a top line package. I would say that these electric pickups are going to easily be in the $80,000 and up range if they're fully equipped, and you can be sure that the market of buyers for this level of electric truck is not going to be a mass market market. And most of these people, I mean, it's been this way in the fossil fuel pickup trucks for decades. Out in the West Coast and in Texas and all that, they have Texas editions of pickup trucks. In California, everybody who buys pickup trucks is driving around L.A. and in urban environments are going out to the movies in them, and they are hardly used for doing anything besides riding along on, if not rough pavement or not smooth pavement, rough paved roads, and never getting their tires muddy. Except maybe in a rainstorm. That is the way of much of the automotive market as we see it. We have been talking about what the average price across the board of new cars was. 2 years ago, it was in the 30s, low 30s. A year later, it was in the mid-30s. And now the average price cost of new vehicles across all the ranges of vehicles is in the low to mid $40,000 range. That is hardly even a mass market appeal price, which forces many people to turn to used cars to be their alternative newer forms of car purchasing if they can't afford the new pricing of cars. And as we know, during their most recent period of car availability with chip shortages and whatever, and personnel shortages, and now what is happening is increased costs of option packages. The prices are going only north, which is up in my book, going forward, and makes leasing probably already a major portion of vehicle purchasing even more important because leasing costs, which can be relatively affordable for, let's say, 3 or 4 year programs,
in keeping monthly costs down are also going up. But financing a new car that's going to cost in the 40s all the way up to close to $100,000 for even 8 or 9 years, or 7 years, 6 years, whatever, the monthly payments are just that much higher to put purchasing new vehicles out of reach of a lot of people who would like to buy new vehicles instead of used vehicles. And there's not much to say that it's going to change anytime soon. I don't see that there's going to be any price reduction in vehicles. However, there's a cloudy, as of this show, whenever you hear it, there was a cloudy outlook for new car sales coming because of the increased financing costs, mainly the increased interest rates that are being applied to new vehicle purchases, short of the manufacturers continuing with the 0% financing for up to 4 years on their purchases of their cars. But along with the holding of that particular 0% interest rate is the very firm pricing that one is going to have to pay for the vehicle itself, because the discounts have been disappearing also while the interest rates have been going up and some of them being held at lower rates. I see now advertised vehicle leases at 3.9%, down to 0% in some cases. That is through the manufacturer's leasing programs, not through banks. I do not know what banks are charging for financing leased vehicles, but they've got to be higher than what the manufacturers can do. Where do we go from here?
We do a safety tip because you're coming to the end.
Well, that's wonderful. Safety tips, there's only so many safety tips we can come up with each week, and we have gone over and over some of them.
Some of them, you'll forgive me, some are worth repeating.
There are. The ones worth repeating are the, in my book, are the woeful inattention of people's use of signaling devices on their vehicles, flashers when they're parked on the side of a major two-lane state road, while they're on their cell phone. There's more likely no use of the flashers to alert oncoming drivers that a car may be stopped, and even though it may be pulled off to the side of the road, many of them have two of their wheels on the road pavement, along with the other two maybe being on the side ground or in the breakdown lane of roads. The other signaling issue that I am really, really ripped about is the lack of people's courtesy use of their turn signals well before they want to actually make the turn that they end up making, when it appears that they're just all but stopped, and all of a sudden you don't know which way they're going to go. The turn signal comes on as they're actually starting the turn. The other safety tips are visibility of walkers and bikers on roads, which you, of course, love to talk about because it's the way you come to work. You use roads that are very dangerous sight-wise, due to curves,
actually,
and due to the narrowness of the roads, and then you come around a corner and you see three or four bicyclists, many riding side by side, and if it's dark or darkening because of the lights getting, it's getting darker earlier, you're under trees, and they're not wearing high visibility clothing and or having high visibility blinking red lights on the backs of their bikes, and white lights for those of oncoming traffic to see, sometimes all but invisible. But the danger of going around curves is that you're going at 40 miles an hour, and bicyclists are going at anywhere from 10 to 15 or 20 miles an hour, and you can come upon the back end of these bicyclists very quickly.
I've got something to add.
You have to be readily alert and not distracted doing something in the car. If you're driving on a winding town road, for example, or even a state road, and you come upon bicycles, and they're all out. This show was done in the autumn, and there are lots of bicycle people out on nice days enjoying a bicycle on these roads.
And I have an addendum to this, and I'm just going to throw this in.
Okay, go ahead.
If you come up here to ride your bike and you stop at a friend's house and you want to park there, try to get out of the lane of the traffic on the town road that you're not aware that you're blocking as you go.
Oh, because you can't park in the driveway of the place.
Right, exactly.
You're at,
you can't park in the driveway.
Yes, parking on the sides of these town roads that are two lane, barely wide enough when they're devoid of any cars on the road, become cut down in half to maybe a lane and a half many times. And if there are people parked on both sides of the road, you really come around and you find one lane's worth of traffic, and you have to be very careful for that. So that is a very good addendum in my book.
Thank you. And the person didn't even bother to pull over on that one, and it was school time, so I was just sort of fascinated at the lack of environmental awareness.
Yes, you have school buses too.
Right, but the point is, you don't, as you say, the roads are not, they're not wide, so you actually need to know where you've stopped and put your car with the bike rack on the back.
Yes, the lack of awareness people have about how to park their vehicles on roads is another issue that I'm sure not many people who are listening to this show or think that they're a problem in this event, but there are people that just don't have an understanding of just how big their car is and how they should best park that car to not effectively block the actual travel part of roads.
Right, and it's just that same consciousness, whether you're eating a sandwich or talking on your phone or not using your turn signal or we could really use some more of, that's all.
Okay.
He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.